And then when you're done, I'll shut it off.
All right, thank you, brother. Good to be here. I hope you've been praying so we would have what the Lord would have for us to preach. We don't have anything new. If I come to here with anything new, we're in trouble. There's a lot of churches out there bringing something new every day. And we just want to preach from the Word of God, the old past, and put you in remembrance of some things. Brother Randy prayed, and as he prayed that that the Spirit would move among us, and that's really what we wanted to preach to you tonight. I struggled back and forth between a couple different messages that the Lord had laid upon my heart, and I really feel that we need to start the services with focusing on the need for the Spirit to move among us. And if you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, I'm thankful that my wife was able to be with me, and I'm thankful that my pastor is here and members of our church. And Brother Ryan's been a blessing to me, and I'm going to brag on the Lord what the Lord's done with the man, because every time he opens his mouth in the pulpit, the Lord blesses me through his preaching. I'm thankful for him, thankful for what God has shown him. But one of the things that we're speaking about tonight is the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that's done what he's done in Brother Ryan's life, showing him these things. In John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26, we read two verses there. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And the Holy Ghost is spoken thereof in verse 26. Now look over in 1 Corinthians, and we'll read a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Sometimes I think we just forget that. That within us dwells the very Spirit of God. "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He said, "I'll send the Comforter, and he'll bring things to your remembrance." And the Lord does that through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, bring things to our remembrance. He said, "Things that are freely given to us of God, and which things we also speak," he said, "not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." Well, there's a lot of that going out there. As I said, we don't have anything new, but there's a lot of churches out there where you can go hear something new every day. Things that aren't even in the Bible. Here it says, "Which things we also speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, but not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Why is it that it seems that we seldom want to speak of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? For the most part, we don't have a problem. We pray to our Heavenly Father, and we pray in Jesus' name, and we're thankful that Jesus died on the cross, and we just don't really mention the Holy Spirit. And he's a very much important part of our lives every day. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts me when I step off the path. It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to my heart. At least he should be speaking to our heart, and he should be part of our daily lives. When we baptized, just the other night, we baptized Brother Allen. And when we baptized, the Bible gives us command to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And there's three parts of our God, not just two, but there's three. And we, Brother Ryan has been preaching about worshiping the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible is a triune God. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is part of that. And we can't leave it off. And we can't just say, "Well, we'll leave that to those Pentecostals because we're afraid to speak about the Holy Ghost or something." And so we seem to leave it alone sometimes when we need to understand how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And we understand that we worship a triune God. Even in the very beginning, when the Bible was written, it said, God said, "Let us make man in our image," indicating there was more than one. And it was the plural. The word there, Elohim, means a plural of more than two. I can't explain all that because I'm not a Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, but I know that. I've heard that, and I believe that. That it's more than two. So we know that there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they were all their creation. And the Holy Spirit is very much involved in the lives of everyone who's saved. Every child of God who's saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in them. You don't have to wait to get it. Because the moment you're saved, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. In the world in which we live, some religions seem to focus more on the supposed workings of this Holy Spirit, mostly healings and these kind of things, and left us Baptists almost afraid to mention His name. And yet He's there every day with us. And we need to have a better understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction in instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And we need to try as best we can. I've been enjoying the messages and teaching of Brother Ryan concerning worshiping the God of the Bible. And not this God that we've made up in our minds. And not the God that the world has painted for us. You know, I was just at the nursing home and went in to pick this man up and wheel him down. I asked him to come to the services. And when I brought him back, he showed me this picture. You know, he says, "And there's my picture of Jesus." And I thought, that's not the God that's the God this world has painted. Some long-haired, weak, sissy God that can't do anything. And that's the God that most people worship. But the God that's in our hearts is the Holy Ghost, is the one who speaks to us and convicts us of sin. And His workings are so important from the very salvation and even to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If I get to these verses to read to you tonight, the Bible certainly. Brother Ron Christ, in his study on the Holy Spirit, wrote these words in his book. He says, "The Bible does not contain everything we want to know, but everything we need to know." I mean, we're not going to get all the answers. There's things we just can't grasp or understand, but it has everything we need to know. Some truths revealed, such as the inner relationships of the Trinity, are not intended to be fully understood, but yet believed. We're incapable of fully understanding by mortal man this triune God. And I'm not going to try and explain that I understand it, but I know that there's three parts, and we certainly need to understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Job said, "Can thou by searching find out God? Can thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" Can you understand it to perfection? No, we can't. We can't. Brother Ryan read this verse the other night in Deuteronomy. Look at this verse in Deuteronomy 29:29. In Deuteronomy there in 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." We're not going to understand everything. And yet man seems to always think that he's going to learn and understand and only things that God reveals. And as I said, we have nothing new. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed. And how are they revealed? How do we understand anything? How do we understand that we're a sinner? It's the workings of the Holy Spirit. It's the workings of the Holy Spirit. "But those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And you know, the Bible tells us certainly there are things that are hard to be understood. And there are things that the Bible calls deep things. And there are things that certainly that people who are better studied than me and better that God is, you know, even the Holy Spirit gives discerning gifts. You know, He might give Brother Ryan a better ability than me at discernment of something. But that, you know, who does that? The Holy Spirit. He gives that ability to some more than others. And we're thankful too that for the Word of God. In the Bible even tells us that the Word of God was written by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I mean, the actual Bible that we have was being, you know, the Holy Ghost was working in these men to write it. We need to remember that. And I don't believe there's any new revelations. As I said, if I come to you with something new, we're in trouble. But I don't believe there are any more apostles and no more prophets of God on this earth. And we know that their two witnesses will come back and preach during the tribulation period. But I don't believe God is giving any new revelations to men today. But there is so much He's given us, His Word, and there's so much in His Word for us to learn and to study and try to understand. And we certainly need not to be afraid of learning about the Holy Spirit or studying or mentioning His name or certainly His works. And as we know that the Bible makes it very clear that there's no new revelations, and that it says even whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, and whether there are tongues, they shall cease. And that's part of this Holy Ghost that the world thinks of is, you know, he makes people speak in tongues. Well, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's another spirit, as far as I'm concerned. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's the one that we read that calls men to preach. The Bible tells us that Paul said to the church at Corinth there, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And I believe that we can read through the Word of God and find that the Holy Spirit is the one who works in the calling of men to preach the Word of God. God uses common men to preach and proclaim His Word, and much as has been said, we just mentioned about the Holy Spirit in tongues in the last 30, 40 years. But as we just kind of read to you real quick, the Bible said, whether there are prophecies, there shall fail, whether there's tongues, they shall cease. And certainly I believe that there was a gift that was given, but it wasn't a gift of a bunch of gibberish. Amen. We could read that, and our message isn't on tongues tonight. But those who believe in this supposed speaking in tongues and the these that are calling themselves, they don't even want to call themselves Pentecostals. They got away from that name. They call themselves by a different name, you know, full gospel churches or different names, you know, New Light Church and all these different things. Really what they want to do is they want to make you feel less spiritual if you can't mutter a bunch of words. I'll tell you, I think of these verses in Isaiah where it says, they seek unto them that have familiar spirits and under wizards and that peep and that mutter. You know, there are a lot of people, oh, they're just drawn to that. And then it says in verse 20 of Isaiah 8, it says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. I'll tell you, there's no light in them. There's been no revelation of the Holy Spirit in them if they speak contrary to this word all the time. And yet many of them proclaim to be full gospel. The full gospel, they say, well, we're full gospel, yet but the gospel they preach is a perverted gospel. It's a gospel that is a decision gospel. It's a gospel that that God can't keep you saved, that you got to keep, man has to keep himself saved by his own works. And they declare that, even that the Holy Spirit would call women to preach. And that's contrary to the Word of God. So if they speak not according to His Word, this Word, it's because there's no light in them. The Holy Spirit's doesn't lead contrary to His Word. Never does. Doesn't lead contrary to His Word. The Holy Spirit teaches the same thing to all that are saved about salvation. There's no difference in that. He may teach some more and reveal more truth about the Bible, but as far as being depraved and being in need of salvation, the Holy Spirit's never going to teach contrary to his word concerning that. God's not the author of confusion. In Matthew, Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They teach for doctrines. Well, this is what we were taught in seminary, and this is what my parents taught, or this is the way I was raised. You know, I was born and I grew up in this, and this is what I've always done. And yet they don't even want to look at the Bible and find out what the truth is. In vain they do worship me. They're worshiping a made-up God. They're worshiping a God that's not the God of the Bible. They're not worshiping. He said, in vain they do worship me. They're going through a religion and they're going through a practice and we got to be careful that we don't do that. That we literally worship God. And what is God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, as we said, the Holy Spirit never does anything contrary. It says, in fact, look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 14 and 32. 1 Corinthians 14 and 32. And, you know, this is the tongues chapter, basically, in Corinthians. But look at what this verse 32 says. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. There's anybody that begins to preach something contrary to the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is subject unto this, under its own Word. It's subject unto the prophets. There's many people that are, you know, as we said, there's things that the Bible tells us that are hard to be understood. And then it says, and Peter says, they that are unlearned and unstable, rest. They'll twist it, make it fit. Make it fit to their idea of beliefs. You know, and Brother Ryan was preaching about the will of God, and that's just amazing, just to think about, you know, the will of God and how even though man can sin and man makes mistakes and how ultimately God still has his will.
Yeah.
That's comforting to me.
Amen.
That's comforting to me. To know that even though I may make a mistake or Brother Randy may make a mistake, that God is sovereign over all. But you know, there's many people out there that they just look at the Bible and they just think, well, I got to make it fit what I think. You know? That's not the Holy Spirit. They twist the Word of God. The Spirit of God guides and teaches the same way. In fact, Peter said, "You that have received like precious faith." It's the same. Teaches the same way, the same truth. In our very beginning, he says, "Howbeit," he says, "He, the Spirit of truth is come, and he will guide you into all truth." In John chapter 16. I guess we didn't read that, but the Lord said, "The Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." And one of the things that we need to be careful of as Baptists is we don't get puffed up over what little truth we got.
Amen.
We know that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. But sometimes we can get, oh boy, you know, I see the doctrines of grace and I see the Lord's church. And we can get ourselves, we can just, woo-hoo. We can get so puffed up and arrogant and think that somehow we saw it. When it was the Holy Spirit that revealed it to us. What do you have that you have not received? You received it. Everything you've got. If we look at this Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. How do we understand anything? It's because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to our heart. That's the only way that we begin. He bears witness with our spirit. And one of the things that he does when we're saved, what? That we are the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's what Brother Ryan mentioned about hope. You know, people say, you ask him, you say, well, if you were to die, you go to heaven? Oh, well, I hope so. What a place to be. I've been there. I know that feeling. I know that feeling of going to bed and thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Because I used to think that I had to keep myself saved. The Spirit beareth this witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, and we somehow think of the Spirit sometime. You know, even if you look up the word Spirit, it talks about being a blast or a breath of the word pneumonia, which actually where we get our word pneumonia from, or the breathing, talks about the Spirit or wind. And sometimes I think we think of the Holy Spirit as being less because it's a Spirit. But he's not. In fact, when Nicodemus came to Jesus and began to speak to him, and the Lord told Nicodemus that he must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused by how can I go back into my mother's womb? And he said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." And then what does the Lord use for an explanation of it, of salvation, an explanation of what happens when someone is saved? He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit." And I love that, the way that the Lord put that, because, you know, you go out and you can go out there and immediately step out the door, and if there's any wind at all, you can feel it, but you can't see it. And you can see the effects of it. You can look out there and you can see the leaves blowing. You can see the trees swaying. And you can see the effects. And that's so much like the working of the Holy Spirit in someone's lives. Is because you can see it when someone is saved. And if the Holy Spirit has come upon them, they can feel it. And if you're saved, you should have felt it. He's described there as the wind. The way that the wind comes upon you. As the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound there, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Even so, every one that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine person and must never be viewed as a mere presence or a power. We got to be careful that we don't say, oh, he's just this Spirit that it's just a presence or power. It's God! The Holy Spirit is just is one of the names given to our triune God. Part of our triune God. In Luke, it tells us there, it says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? It's a gift of God. He's called holy because He's holy in all things. He's pure and right in all things. And the Bible talks about holy, holy, holy. Well, that's talking about the Holy Ghost as much as it is our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Father. The Holy Ghost. In fact, if you look at this verse and think about in Matthew where the angel appeared to Mary, and it appeared to Joseph, and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Such an important part. And yet we don't think about it. He's part of our daily lives. In fact, the Bible calls Him the Comforter. I'll tell you what, where would we be without the Comforter? Where would we be when the times get hard and things are not going right without the Holy Spirit to comfort us? But He said, I will not leave you comfortless. In fact, Jesus said there in John 14, He says, I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit, you know, you can't separate Him. He says, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So we see that the Holy Spirit is described as the Comforter, and Jesus refers to Himself as the Comforter. Look in Matthew chapter 3 at these verses. It's interesting here when we see that at the Jesus' baptism, they were all there. And when Jesus was baptized, it says in verse 16 of Matthew 3, and went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven. Well, the Heavenly Father is the voice from heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God descending like a dove and saying, this is My beloved Son. All in one place. In Matthew it says, for it is not that ye speak, when He was talking to the apostles and they were going out, and our desire as I prayed even tonight, and is that it's not me that speaks, but the Spirit. And that's what He said in Matthew 10 and 20 to those when He sent them out, was, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And that's always our desire. It's not that we get up and get in the flesh or say things that are what we want to say, but what the Lord would have us to say. We can see that there's a direct relation, as we've already read, between certainly the Holy Spirit and the Father, and there's a direct relation between the Holy Spirit and God the Son and Jesus Christ, and they are all the same in one. And yet they're three separate entities. In Romans chapter 8, look at these verses with me here. There's much in Romans chapter 8, and we'll see how much time we have to read in Romans chapter 8. In verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit of God if we're saved. Because there's an if here that says, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you're saved, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Isn't that interesting? They're the same. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are in the same verse. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I can't separate them, but the Bible talks about them. And here in the same verse, He said, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. They're the same Spirit. The same in one. In the fact that they're God. So what we're getting down to is the fact that the very God of the universe dwells in us. The very God of the universe. In fact, I love that what Paul or wrote to the Philippians there. He says, for I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as Dempsey Henderson said, my God shall supply all your needs. He supplies us with the need. He supplied us with the Spirit. In Galatians, he said, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Bible talks about many of the attributes of the Holy Spirit as an eternal Spirit, a never-ending Spirit. He didn't just start with, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that think that the Holy Ghost appeared when Jesus Christ died. He's always been there. He was there in creation. He's part of God. He wasn't just the part that, you know, Jesus ascended and then the Holy Ghost, you know, just was manufactured. He's always been here. He's eternal. And Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, who through the eternal Spirit, through the workings of the eternal Spirit, was able to do so. The Bible speaks of the Spirit of holiness. And it's because of the Spirit that the only way that we can do anything good is through the workings of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything good without the workings of the Holy Spirit outside of Him. He's called the Spirit of truth. We know that Jesus said, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 17, where he talked about the Comforter in verse 16, he shall give you the Comforter that He may abide with you forever. You know, the Lord didn't give us the Comforter and then take Him away. You know, that I love where He says there that He said, there will be a call and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we not do many things in Thy name and do many wonderful works? And I probably didn't quote it right, but I didn't want to take the time to turn there. And the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. Wasn't like the Lord said, well, I knew you for a while and then I got rid of you. I never knew you. And here He said, He shall give you, in verse 16 of John 14, give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
And then in verse 17 it says, even the Spirit of truth. He'll guide, the one that guides us into truth, the one that can show us truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And we need to be reminded of that. Each and every day, where we go and what we do, and that God dwells in us. The Holy Ghost dwells in us. In Romans chapter 8 there, in verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit is life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life. He's dwelling in us and He's given us the Spirit of eternal life. We already have eternal life. We don't have to wait to know. The Bible makes it clear that we have it. When we're saved, we have eternal life. And in Hebrews it talks about the Spirit as being the Spirit of grace. And isn't that what He is? The Heavenly Father draws us unto Him, and the working of the Holy Spirit begins to convict us and to show us our need of salvation. Isn't that the Spirit of grace? And then in Romans it also talks about receiving the Spirit of adoption. Because when we are saved, we become part of the family of God. And there's no disagreement between any of these. You know, there's people out there like the Jehovah's Witnesses who want to make Jesus less than God. They're all the same. In fact, in John, 1 John 5:8, look at this verse. In 1 John 5, you know, we know that He said, I and My Father are one, and there's no way to, you know, I mean, to me that just answers it there. And you know, there's no question that He says they're one. But look at this verse in 1 John 5:8. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. That work. The working in the earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. Perfect harmony in everything that the Spirit does. And then it goes on and says, if we receive the witness of men, in verse 9, the witness of God is greater. And then it goes on, it says, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness. That's the Holy Spirit in himself. And I love that. Because I didn't have that at one time. I didn't have any assurance of my salvation. I didn't have, you know, people could tell me, yes, Jesus Christ went to die on the cross, and that wasn't any different than telling me that George Washington never told a lie and Abraham Lincoln chopped down a cherry tree, whichever one it was. Other, vice versa. Didn't make any difference. I just, okay, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Rose again. But I believed it with this. Just as much as I believe that, and you believe that. You believe George Washington was our first president. But you know what? That's, you can say, well, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, but that's not salvation. We receive the witness of men. We believe that George Washington was our first president. We believe Abraham Lincoln was our 16th president. The witness of God is greater. Once you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, there should be no doubt in your mind. You should be able to say, I know that I'm saved. The witness of God is in us. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. This Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's no doubting. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 1 there. In Romans 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because what does the Spirit do? You know, it's not within man to direct his own steps. It's not within man to know the way. But the Spirit begins to direct and lead and guide. And when you're saved, something should change. Your path should change. As old Harry Hilly used to say, your hitching post changed, you know. That's way back when you tied up horses. You tied up your horse. You could tell a lot by a man where his horse was tied. By how he lived. Who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit. And then it goes on in verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And you know, there's a whole world of people out there calling themselves Christians, and they still want to drink, and they still want to have their chewing tobacco and smoke, and they still want to, you know, lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery, and they want to call themselves Christians. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, we're not, none of us perfect, but we ought to have the Holy Spirit saying, convicting us and saying, that's not right. You're my child. Be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the comforter. That's the spiritually minded. It just gives you life and peace. Carnal mind's enmity against God. And then it goes on in verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if ye are not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. You have to have the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Did you ever read that verse 11 there and really think about it? I read that real fast like that because I've got my dyslexia over on that verse and I can get that one read. But look at what that verse says. I'm telling you, that verse says a mouthful of things. His coming into the world was necessary for our salvation just as much as Christ was dying on the cross. Without the Holy Spirit, we're empty and our religion is empty and we have no proof of our salvation. We don't have any proof in our own heart. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd be out there doubting every day. And our religion would be empty and our worship would be empty. What we do is, Brother Randy did, we prayed that the Spirit would be here and we'd feel the Spirit what? Move amongst us. Speak to our hearts. But here in this verse 11, it says that the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. The Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead. He's important in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And important in our resurrection. He that raised up Christ from the dead. Who did that? The Holy Spirit. We know that that's the one and the same, but he was the working there. We read that verse without thinking about what it says. He shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. He's the one that worked. You know, the Father drew me unto him, got me to the place there, and where the preaching of the word was. And what did he do? The Holy Spirit quickened me. Took that which was dead, quickened my mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in us. We see the Holy Spirit here dwells in the heart of every child. As we've already said, the Spirit was noted as certainly being a crucial part in even the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no hope of resurrection. He was there. Just what that verse 11 says, he that raised up Christ from the dead. If we don't believe and have the Holy Spirit and believe in the Holy Spirit and in his workings, we don't have a hope of a resurrection. He shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit is working. He works in our physical life to the saving of our soul. Job said, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. The Holy Spirit is and is certainly a crucial part in the salvation of our soul. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born of the Spirit. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To me, everybody thinks that that's a difficult verse, but maybe I'm a simple person. But, you know, I had a fleshly birth and I had a spiritual birth. Just as plain to me. That verse to me is, you've got to have a spiritual birth. You've got to be born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to work in your heart and your mind and show you your need of salvation. The Holy Spirit, I believe, was involved in my fleshly birth too. I had to be born. I had to be born. He was involved in regenerating of my very soul. And verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and verse 11 of 8 there, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit is the author of every good thing in our life. In fact, the Bible speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit. There's, you know, when the Lord saves your soul, there ought to be some fruit hanging out there in the tree. There ought to be some love, some joy. There ought to be some peace. There ought to be some long suffering for other people. You ought to be able to say, well, wait a minute. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it'd be me. And God was merciful. It ought to be gentleness. This hardness that sometimes we have, we ought to be gentle. And I love that Brother Ryan is bringing me back to that gentleness and thinking about, you know, that we need sometimes to be patient with people and not so hard with our, you know, well, if you don't believe this, you're just stupid. You don't know nothing, you know. We need to sometimes talk to people with the gentle and because it's the Spirit that needs to give them understanding. Goodness and faith, that's some of the fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know what? That's evidence that God is dwelling in us. He's the author of every good thing. His meekness and temperance. All these things are the fruit of the Spirit. We need to understand that the Lord said that commanded us to love him with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. We need to try to love all that he is. Not just love and think, well, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross, but there's more than that too. A daily comforter that worked in our lives. God the Father that drew us unto him. We're commanded to love God. God encompasses all of these three. We must love all that he is and not this weak Jesus that the world worships. The devil has created a real false god, and I never thought of it so much so until Brother Ryan was preaching, and I thought, that is so true. People are worshiping their idea of what they think God is. And, you know, and look with me over at this verse in Psalms 50. Psalms 50 starts out there with, in verse 16, he says, but Unto the wicked God saith, he's talking to the wicked, you know, thou hatest instruction and castest my words is behind thee. And when thou sawest the thief, thou consentest with him and hast been partakers with adulterers. And thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit and sitteth and speaketh against thy brother. And thou slanderest thy own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Then this is the very key verse, part of this verse. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. You know, the world has made God so weak. He can't save any souls without man's help. You know, you got to walk them down the Romans road, or they won't. You got to get a decision out of them. They made God weak and unable to do anything. But that's the God that most people worship today. It's a weak God. And that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that we read about. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And he said, and now the Comforter will come. And he said, and he would be that. And John says, for they are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They bear record in heaven. You know, the Bible there talks about scriptural proof that the Holy Spirit is God. There when Ananias and Sapphira stood before Peter and the church there, and they began to lie, and they lied to the Holy Ghost. And that's what they said. He said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part price of the land? While it's remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? Thou hast conceived this thing, and why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So when they lied to the Holy Ghost, they were lying to God. The God that dwells in us. How often do we do that? We lie to God. Paul wrote to Corinthians there, and he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Do we really think about that? This is the temple of God. With what we touch, what we see, what we hear, where we take these bodies, and the things we think. Sometimes I wish I could just rip out my mind sometimes. I'm so frustrated with the thinking. We live in such a sinful world, and it was just all the time in our face, in our ears. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? He wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he says, whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. As a church, we're part of a habitation for God. As a body. Nothing should encourage or strengthen the heart of a Christian more, though, than knowing that the very Spirit of God dwells in them. That we're never alone. That whatever situation we have to face in life, and whatever trial, there's some here that have lost loved ones, and they were never alone. God is with them. And there's some that feel like, well, they're always alone. But if you're saved, the Spirit of God is with you every day and every moment. In fact, one of the promises that he gave in 1 Corinthians, look at this verse here. And we'll try and finish some of these thoughts up here. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1st chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the words of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I mean, the Holy Spirit was working in your life to draw you and to quicken you and bring you to that place. And then after you heard in the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, you heard that you were a lost sinner and on your way to hell without Jesus Christ dying for you and trusting and believing that he died on the cross for you and the Holy Spirit convicting you. And he says, and that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He gave us that we might know every day. It was a promise. Just as a promissory note. I love the fact that, you know, people use that word earnest in the next verse here, 14. You know, it used to be years ago, people say, well, you buy a car, you're going to give me a down payment, an earnest payment. You're going to give me something to show you're coming back. That you're really going to come back and get this car. You know, and I sell something sometimes and people, you know, I'd sell a car, maybe be $4,000, $5,000 or whatever. And they'd say, well, I got $20. And I'm thinking, well, that's not really very earnest, you know, that you're coming back. But, you know, when they give me $100, I'm thinking, you know, this person's pretty earnest. They're sincere about buying this car. They're going to come back for it. Or they're not going to forfeit their $100. Well, God gave us His Holy Spirit of promise, which is our earnest of our inheritance, that we might know that He's coming back for us. And He said, you know, I'm putting my Spirit within you. Because He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And we're not so what I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I love those verses, that promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know, the Bible talks about all the different things of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the deep things of God. And you know what? The Spirit is the one. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And He's the one that teaches us those things. Well, what man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. His discernment concerning us. The Spirit of God, it talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. You know that the Spirit of God that dwells within us, we can vex His Spirit and we can grieve His Spirit. He loves us dearly. The Bible speaks of the love of the Spirit. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, or because of the love of the Spirit. He loves us. He exercises, as I said, His power and His right and choice of giving gifts. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. You know what? God gives differing gifts. Sometimes I stand in awe of men who can put a study together and can just proclaim it so detailed, and I think, wow, I wish I could do that. God didn't give me that. He gives differing gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us, as we read. He shall teach you all things. He's the one who leads us. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He speaks to us, just as He spoke to Philip there when He said, go near and join thyself to His chariot. Who is it that, in your mind, at work or at school or wherever you're at, sometimes says to you, go speak to that person? Who is it that does that? It's the Holy Spirit. How many times do we grieve Him when we say, I can't do it? He's the one that convicts, that made you to know you were a sinner. And maybe even tonight He's convicting you. It says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit does that. He reproves the world of sin. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. He regenerates. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, cannot see the kingdom of God. As we already said, He's the Comforter. Where would we be without that? He testifies of Himself. He intercedes on behalf when we pray. Even as we prayed tonight, I didn't know what to pray. Some of the things I was praying with the men, I thought, I don't even know what to pray. But I know He intercedes for me when I don't know how to pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Even when we sometimes don't know how to pray for something, He's there praying on our behalf. He intercedes. And I said, He's the one that calls people to preach. When Paul was telling those elders there at Ephesus, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He called Him the Holy Ghost. We know that He creates. Let us make man in our image. Job said, the Spirit of God hath made me. He's omnipresent. I love these verses in the Psalms, 139th Psalm, where David said in verse 7, look at these verses and we'll close here. 139th Psalm, verse 7, David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Wherever you go, the Spirit of God, if you're saved, the Spirit of God is with you. David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, whatever you're doing at home, at work, or at school, God is with you. You cannot, even if you're lost, you cannot get away from God. You can't get outside of His sight, outside of His scope of knowing. He knows your thoughts. He says, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thine hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. No matter where I go, he said, you're there. Now look with me, just one last couple verses here. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 again. Romans 8. Look at this verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. In this chapter, there's a lot of ifs. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh. There's some ifs in the Bible. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in you, you're not saved. You're not one of His. That's why it says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. There's an if there. Maybe you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit of God, the very God of heaven, has spoken to you. I remember the first time it happened to me. I thought I was going to die. I literally did. I felt like if I don't get out of this place, I'm going to die. Because for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Oh, the devil spoke to me a lot before that. I tell you, there's a lot of spirits out there, and I remember the devil would tell me, oh, you don't need to be here. You don't need to do that. You're just as good as they are. I mean, that spirit was there all the time. But when the Holy Spirit spoke to me the first time and just said, you are lost. You are undone. You're on your way to hell and you know it. The Holy Spirit of God. We ought to be thankful for the grace, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of righteousness that He brings into our lives. We couldn't do anything without Him. Paul wrote this and he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Knowing that. Having that fellowship. Do you have that? Do you know that you're a child of God? Did you ever have that experience where the Lord showed you were lost? And you know that Jesus Christ saved your soul and He dwells in your heart. The God of heaven. The Holy Ghost. Are there any?